Hey everybody, welcome back to Casa Walsh, Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on today's episode, we are going over season 7, episode 12, called Judgment Day, and it premiered on December 11th, 1996. All right, so this one starts, Steve and Brandon meet with Chancellor Arnold to discuss the trouble Steve is facing over stealing Brandon's paper. They next have to go before a hearing board to get Steve's verdict and punishment, which could be expulsion, which we found out last episode. And the Chancellor notes that if Steve does plead guilty, he would face punishment from the Chancellor, and it could be minor as academic probation. Steve is smart enough to go for that option. Brandon, however, wants to prove his innocence that he didn't give Steve the paper, so he is going to have his hearing with the Student Conduct Committee, and he is pleading innocent. He's not going to say he's guilty if he didn't do it. Steve doesn't even understand why he won't accept it, but that's the reason why. So Professor Randall is going to be gunning for him, and Brandon doesn't care to hear Steve's opinions right now. He's still really pissed at him, and Steve's like, but we're best friends, and Brandon says not anymore. So Brandon's like kind of done with Steve. He felt this is like going too far, and I guess because Brandon knows that he can get in a lot of trouble for this. I mean, I don't know. I mean, if I'm Brandon in this situation, I'm pissed at my friend, but I probably will just take the guilty plea and do some academic probation. I wouldn't want to go through with a hearing and all this stuff, especially with a guy who just, like, you know, has it out for him. Just my feelings on this. David and Donna are going for a bike ride since they're all happy and back together, it seems. He wants to take her to see a Goo Goo Dolls concert. I think that's when they last kind of like rekindled things on the boat when the Goo Goo Dolls performed. Donna's having dinner with her parents, so she invites him to come along before they go to the concert. So things are looking up for them. And also, they mention how Kelly is throwing a surprise party for Mark for his birthday. Boring. Anyways, Mark is currently telling Kelly, though, that he doesn't want to do anything for his birthday except for kind of just hang out with them. Brandon kind of joins them, telling that he's having his hearing the next day, and Kelly goes to wish him good luck, kisses him on the cheek, and kind of brings up something about Mark's party in private, which Mark is watching on when she kisses him on the cheek. And Mark kind of is like, why'd you kiss him? She gave him a kiss on the cheek. She's like, I'm just wishing him luck with his hearing. You can tell Mark's got a little bit of a jealousy thing with Brandon, which I don't think is completely out of the realm of normalcy because it is her ex-boyfriend, but I don't know. Steve's then talking things over with Claire, telling her that Brandon doesn't even want to have him testify on his behalf. Unfortunately, that means that Professor Randall can call Steve to testify against Brandon. So this might be a tough battle to climb for Brandon. So I guess David never actually gave Valerie the money to help her with After Dark that he did a few weeks back, because she's apparently still having money problems. I think these money problems also stem from Kenny was supposed to do something and that fell through. So I guess things are not doing great at the Peach Pit After Dark. And Donna intercepts a phone call from Valerie and tells David that she doesn't think that he should invest in the club. And David says he hasn't really made up his mind yet, but he does need to talk to Valerie about these things. Tracy's back in town. Brandon is meeting with her to go over some CUTV stuff, but she wants kind of details on the hearing. She doesn't get why Professor Randall won't drop the charges now that Steve pled guilty. And Brandon declines to tell her the whole Lucinda thing. So she doesn't know the reason why. She doesn't know anything about Lucinda. She doesn't, you know, I think she's also, I think, a year younger, 2 years younger than them. So she wouldn't know anyways, in my opinion. Anyway, so Professor Randall encounters Brandon at the student union and kind of like mocks him for studying because he's like, well, you're just going to get expelled anyway. Brandon doesn't want to really engage with him, which disappoints Randall because you can see that he definitely just like wants to spar with him. I love that I just said spar. And Brandon, but does like swear to him, I never slept with your wife while you guys were married. And Professor Randall advises him to mention that in the hearing. That will really help you. So he just does not give a shit and he just wants to screw him over, even though, I mean, it's true, he didn't sleep with her while they were dating. David then goes to meet the Martins for dinner with Donna. And as typical, Felice is Felice and she's being kind of critical while Dr. Martin is being supportive and friendly, as always. Felice doesn't know that David and Donna, though, are really back together. And when David is in the restroom, Donna kind of says, like, well, what if we are? And she's not taking the news too well. And I think it's implying that she's not so into the whole bipolar thing. And Donna naturally storms out. That's usually a typical, I feel like, a typical Tuesday with Donna and her mom. Donna just kind of storms out and doesn't want to, you know, deal with it. It's funny. Anyway, so the next day, Brandon, his hearing convenes and Steve is the first witness called to testify. He unsuccessfully tries to plead illness to be excused, which is just so funny. Randall thinks that Brandon gave Steve his paper to bail him out of trouble since Brandon has a history of helping Steve out. Steve says he stole the paper, you know, now that their friendship's in trouble, he thinks he should have made it clear that Brandon wasn't involved in any way, shape, or form in helping him. But like I said, it's not looking too good. Donna then goes to see her dad to ask about advice about, you know, his thoughts about her getting back together with David. He thinks that David's doing well. There's no reason that they should keep their distance from each other. In fact, Donna's relationship with him might be the reason why he's doing so well. Donna worries that they'll stay together, get married, have a child, and with David's problems, Dr. Martin tries to ease her fears, adding that she's old enough not to worry about what her mother thinks. So it's like she was kind of reiterating her mother's feelings and fears about them as a couple. But I think he's just a lot more rational and understanding, and he's a good guy, her dad. Her mom is just a piece of work. Anyway, so Valerie visits David to see where he stands on the business deal, and he's kind of like unsure. Valerie thinks that Donna's influence is, you know, influencing his decision, and she tells David, she's like, you and I are the same and you should go out, you go after what you want. And it's very weird. He wasn't, you know, he said that he wasn't in the right minds, you know, when he made that offer. And now he's thinking a little bit more clearly. Valerie says that he's, you know, if he's going to back out of the deal, he needs to say so now. Also, they're not alike in any, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't too keen on them. I think I've made that clear when they were together, but I don't know. She just wants the money. She needs the help for the club. I don't think she really gives a shit where it's coming from. I think she just wants the money, but she's trying to use her typical Valerie prowess to get him to maybe, you know, help out. Anyway, so Kelly makes plans with Mark for his birthday, but I'm just going to skip over some of that because it is boring, because they're boring and I don't really care to talk about them. Professor Randall then calls Brandon to the stand, and though Chancellor Arnold says that Brandon is allowed to decline, he wants to testify. Randall asks if this is the first time Brandon and Steve cheated. Brandon uses the old, when did you stop beating your wife response, which mostly rubs, like, I don't know what it was very weird. She's very like out of character for Brandon, like acting very childish. I don't know. Anyways, Randall calls out Brandon and Steve for passing a test dubbed the Columbus Day Massacre that everyone else in the class failed except for Brandon. And Steve failed the previous few quizzes, so he's saying it really looks suspicious that he kind of helped him. Brandon sticks to his assertion that he never gave Steve permission to cheat off of him. And he wonders why Randall didn't bring the issue up years ago then, and Brandon says he wasn't aware that Brandon and Steve were so close. Brandon accuses him of maybe doctoring his ledger to make it look like Steve was cheating off of him in the past. And this is kind of making Brandon look bad. You know, first of all, he's using some weird, like, did you beat your wife comments, which just I thought was so fucking weird. And now he's kind of accusing him of doctoring his, you know, course ledger, which... Chancellor Arnold is like, come on, Brandon, this is getting ridiculous. So everyone else gathers for Mark and David's house party for Mark's surprise party. As they're there, Donna asks David if he's talked to Valerie, and he tells her that he, you know, that she was pretty understanding. But before he can elaborate, Mark and Kelly arrive, and surprise, she's pretending she left their concert tickets at the house. That is where everyone surprises him. And you can see he's like pretending to be happy, but he's kind of not. After the hearing, Brandon fills Nat on the details of what's going on at the Peach Pit. And Nat thinks maybe he should go to the party and stop moping around and, you know, just keep his mind off things. Donna sees David and Valerie talking and complains to Kelly that Valerie keeps bugging David about the club. Then she overhears Valerie calling David her partner, and David says he still hasn't made up his mind. And Kelly then decides it's present time for Mark, even though he doesn't want any attention in any way, shape, or form. And just as he's about to start opening the presents, Brandon shows up, and Kelly hurries over to find out what happened at the hearing. And Valerie comments to Mark that Kelly should be paying more attention to Mark, to which Mark's like, you know, you see he's been jealous, he's getting jealous, you know, we see it here. So Brandon tells his friends what happened at the hearing just as Steve and Claire arrive. Steve decides not to bother suffering through an evening with his ex-best friend. Also suffering Mark, who just wants to watch kung fu movies. He complains to Kelly that everyone would rather hang out with Brandon than him. He hates surprise parties, and this one is especially bad. He also thinks that Brandon is the reason he and Kelly haven't had sex yet. Apparently Mark's hatred of birthdays stems from his parents always throwing huge parties, but, I'm not sure what the problem is here. I don't know. Also interesting, they have not had sex yet. We know that. She said she wants to take it slow, but, like, he's also, like, saying he's in love with... I don't know. But, again, they're boring. Claire pulls Brandon aside and to tell him that... to work things out with Steve. She thinks he should cut Steve some slack. He stood up for him at the hearing, and Brandon points out that Steve got him into this mess in the first place. And then after Brandon leaves, Donna informs Claire that Randall proved that this isn't the first time Steve cheated on Brandon. So Claire rushes home to confront Steve, who claims that this was, in fact, the first and only time I've ever cheated on him. And Steve says that Randall's wrong. He failed all of the quizzes and the Columbus Day Massacre in that class, and he could prove it. So things are getting interesting here. Brandon then takes Tracy home and finally confesses about his relationship with Lucinda. He thinks that, you know, the trouble he's in will affect the fellowship that he applied for. And Tracy tries to cheer him up, since lots of successful people failed, before, like, just trying to make him feel better. She's being a good friend or girlfriend, or I don't know what their relationship is. I really don't. Then Felice visits Donna at the beach apartment to sort of apologize, I guess, though she really kind of just wants her daughter to rethink a relationship where she's taking care of someone who's wounded. So she needs to think more about you know, a relationship that will be lasting. And Donna says that's exactly what she's thinking about. So Donna seems to be kind of all in on wanting to get kind of, you know, back together with David. I mean, they're on that path. So I don't know. Anyways, so Brandon addresses the hearing the board and announcing that he has no defense, but he doesn't think that Randall has really proven anything. He challenges Randall to admit to his personal vendetta, revealing that he did have an affair with Lucinda. He swears he has no involvement in what Steve did, but if they want to think otherwise, he's ready to accept the punishment. And Randall decides he has everything kind of, you know, basically he waives his final closing statement because in his mind, I got this guy, you know, hook, line, and sinker. So Steve and Claire arrive just as, you know, Chancellor Arnold, you know, is going to finish this. I don't know what they're going to do. But Steve's like, I failed all those tests. I can prove it. And Chancellor Arnold's going to allow Steve to add to his previous testimony. Obviously, you know, Randall doesn't want to. And Steve says that he fails, you know, all of the tests, and he's handing the tests out to the board. He has copies of all his previous tests, and he got a 17 on one. And he says that old fraternities, this is kind of a true thing, fraternities save their papers to study for future tests, and that's why he has them all. So Chancellor Arnold is really fucking pissed at Professor Randall, dismisses all the charges against Brandon, and tells Randall that he will now have to face a hearing of his own for manufacturing fake evidence. So Brandon was right about the course ledger. He did, in fact, you know, kind of doctor the ledger. He was out to get Brandon. So the gang, plus Tracy and Mark, minus Valerie, gather at the Pitch Pit to celebrate Brandon's awesomeness or whatever, but he is clear and everything's great. Brandon apologizes for making Mark's birthday crappy, and then he thanks Steve for helping him out, so I guess they're friends again. The girls laugh over the fact that the guys just hug it out and whatever. Everything's okay. Brandon wonders why Randall didn't think that Steve might come forward with the grades, and Steve points out probably because he didn't think someone with those types of grades would ever admit to them, but Steve Sanders has no shame, as he said. David then disappears, and Donna finds him over at the After Dark. She knows he wants to invest in the club, and then if it could lead him back to his own music career. He doesn't want it to come between them, you know, and Donna admits that she doesn't like the idea of David and Valerie working together, but David promises that he only wants to be with David only wants to be with Brandon. That's what I was going to say. David promises that he only wants to be with Donna, so there's nothing to worry about. And she gives him his blessing, and he is now going to invest in the nightclub. So David is using his money to join the nightclub. And that is where the episode ends. Fun facts and tidbits. So I got some songs for this one. When Brandon, you know, is moping with Ned at the Peach Pit, the song is What You Won't Do for Love by Bobby Caldwell. And when everyone's at the Peach Pit, at the end of the episode, the song The Beat Goes On by Sonny and Cher is playing. So it's been a while, but I had some songs. And other than that, I got a spotlight, and the spotlight for this episode is, Jill Novak, who plays Tracy Galian. So Jill was born on January 20th, 1966, which makes her 55 now, which, I thought she looked amazing, actually, because if she was born in 66, this was in 96. So she was like almost 31 here. And I really thought that she was much younger. I was expecting her to be around maybe like 23, 24 maybe. So she looked great, being that she was clearly already in her 30s at this point. But she was born in Westchester County, in New York, so not too far from where I live, just north of New York City. And she went to Mamaroneck High School, graduated in class of 84, and apparently Kevin Dillon, actor from Entourage, was a classmate and a friend of hers from high school, which is funny. I did not know that he was from Westchester also, but apparently he and his brother Matt Dillon maybe are Westchester boys. Anyways, so she is most known to play Tracy on 90210. She apparently also played the young Teddy on the show Sisters. That was a phenomenal show. And now that I'm looking up this information on Jill, I've decided that I now need to do a rewatch of the show Sisters, because that show was awesome. So thank you, Jill, for throwing that back in my, I kind of watched it. I think like we had like a young George Clooney on that show also. If I recall, I don't know if I watched it or it was like my mom watched it and I hit, you know, episodes, and I think it's about like four sisters. Anyways, I'm going to do a rewatch or a watch of it. I'll have to find it somewhere. There's some shows that I wanted to watch that I just can't, you know, find anywhere. Like one was 30 something, because I'm 30 something. I wanted to watch it. But you can't find it anywhere. I don't know why, like some of these shows should be on any, all these streaming networks, for people to watch, but can't find it anywhere. Anyways, I digress. So, Jill has given up acting though, interestingly enough. She did a TV show, or a guest appearance on a TV show called Falcon in the year 2000. And that was her, her last acting job. She returned to school, afterwards, and she is currently, an English teacher at Culver City High School and, the creative director of theater for the Academy of Visual and Performing Arts. So she's a teacher now, which is kind of cool. And, you know, kind of left acting, later in her career and found a new, you know, a new job, I guess, if you will. But yeah, that is it for the fun facts and tidbits and the spotlight for this episode. Thank you all for listening to Casa Walsh, a Beverly Hills 90210 podcast. My name is Sam, and on the next episode, we are going over season 7, episode 13, called Gift Wrapped. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.